Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let the soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you at the singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we do thank you for your abundant blessings, and we thank you for your promises and the hope that they give us, that we look forward to the day of Christ's return when things shall be made right and be all put under your rule and reign. And we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, and we pray for the opportunity to preach the kingdom of God, because you will come and you will reign. We just thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Isaiah 55. We're looking more, we've looked to the Messiah. 53 was such a vivid picture of the coming Messiah. Now we're looking even beyond the first coming of the Messiah. He says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, cometh ye to the waters. Well, what did Jesus tell the woman at the well? He said, if you drink of the my waters, you shall thirst no more. Okay, he's the fulfillment of that prophecy. Okay, I mean, when you're thirsty, there's nothing but water can really satisfy it. I know after way back in the 80s, I took a mission trip to Belize in Central America, and being paranoid of illness, and maybe it wasn't paranoid, it was pretty valid. Everybody that wasn't careful came back sick. So I'd had a friend go to Mexico and pick up an amoeba that just nearly killed him. And I'd just seen him in the hospital before that. So I was very careful. I drank nothing but iodine water when I drank, you know. Doesn't taste too good, especially at 90 plus degrees. But it was what I drank that. Didn't drink, you know, anything else that we had there for the whole time, and didn't even drink. On the flight back, they'd warned me that the flying down from Houston, it's fine, you can eat the food because they fill up in Houston. But on the way back, they filled up in El Salvador, and they suggested you don't eat the food on the way back. And they even said, you know, if you get a soft drink, don't get ice in it. So when I got back, I had an unquenchable thirst for ice water. Nothing but ice water. For a couple of months, I think that's all I drank. You know, I gave up Cokes and tea and milk, and I drank ice water. That was just so good, so good. I had a thirst for that. Well, we all have a thirst. But we try to fill it with all the wrong things. And it doesn't satisfy, does it? It's like, if you're really thirsty, a Coke seems good at first, doesn't it? It kind of refreshes it, but it doesn't really cut it. That didn't do it. That didn't satisfy the thirst, okay? You need real water. He says, he that hath no money, come and buy and eat. He said, it's not, what Jesus is offering is not based on money. So it doesn't matter whether you're rich or whether you're poor, there's only one source for it, and that's Jesus Christ. And people fuss saying, well, you're narrow-minded, bigoted, whatever, if you think there's only one way. Hey, but it's free. Now, that's income equality, isn't it? Jesus Christ has no income criteria to come to Him for living water, to come for Him for the true food, because you can't buy it with money. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend for that which is not bread? I've noticed that. You know, occasionally you try to help some people. You know, they come by wanting some help, and they say, oh, you know, we're hungry, don't have anything to eat, and this and that. So you take them to the grocery store. You know what they buy? Twinkies. Okay? They don't have sense to buy the good stuff. It's like, for that pack of Twinkies, you could have bought you a loaf of bread and some meat to go on it. Okay, this and that. You can tell real quickly whether they're wise or not. Where they go. Well, that's us spiritually. We go to all the wrong places trying to fill our spiritual needs. You know, there's so much nowadays, there's so much of this Eastern mysticism that's infiltrated our culture in this country. You know where they're looking for God? Within. That's dumb. Obviously, we're not God. Okay? I saw a Calvin and Hobbes cartoon. Not many of you are old. Not all of you are old enough to remember Calvin and Hobbes, but some of us do. Okay? And he was a troubled child, yes, but he has his stuffed tiger. And to him, the tiger's real. So when they're alone, they talk to each other. So Calvin was talking to Hobbes, and Calvin was getting theological and philosophical. And so he asked his tiger, Hobbes, and said, do you believe in the devil, that there's one ultimate evil creature that causes men to sin? And the tiger says, from what I can see, men don't need much help. Calvin's like, you can't talk to animals about these things. But he's right. We don't need a lot of help. We can get ourselves in all kinds of trouble. All by ourselves, can't we? And maybe the devil's behind us pushing, but even if he's not, we seem to find it by ourselves. Okay. Why do we search where there's no answer? All this Eastern mysticism stuff, I hear it crops up more and more and more. Search within. Look within. And you find the answer is like, no. That's like sending a kid to school and he's trying to learn math. And you say, okay, 2 + 2 = 4. Look within yourself for the answer. That's not going to work out too well, is it? Okay? No. Nowhere in here told me that 2 + 2 = 4. Okay? I had books and teachers and things to explain that to me. Then I could use that. The answer wasn't within. The answer is in God's Word. And we'll see more. He says, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. God says, seek the things that are good. Good and right. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh from the mouth of God. Somebody pretty wise said that. Okay? That's what we need to seek. That's what we need to eat. That's what we need to hear and live. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander of the people. Well, David is a good example. Now, David, we shouldn't do everything David did. No. But why is David a good example? One, because he always stayed true to God. When he sinned, he repented. He turned back to God. He never turned to idolatry. And he's a great example of God's forgiveness, God's judgment and punishment when needed, but God's forgiveness. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not. He's like, God's call is going to go out beyond just the Jews. I read something yesterday that there's approximately 15.9 million Jews in the world today. That's a tiny portion of the world's population. What do we have now? About 7 billion people? 15 million people? About 6.9 million of them are in Israel. It's grown, at least since it's been a homeland since the 40s. 6 million of them are in the United States. And others are scattered in Russia and a few other places like that. They're a tiny nation, but they still exist. They are overrepresented in doctors and professional classes, Nobel laureates, this and that. They're there. God has blessed them. He said, but through them, the entire world will be blessed. God's promise to Abraham. We're all blessed through the Jewish people. They're the ones that God chose to keep his law. They were the right ones. The rest of us would have backed it up and lost it. He sent his Messiah through the Jewish people. And nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee. This little tiny nation is the center of the world. If you looked at just the activity in the United Nations, you'd think Israel is the biggest country in the world. There's more resolutions regarding Israel, usually opposed to, than any other thing the United Nations does. Because the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. God has glorified his people. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Oh, we need to hear that. You don't have forever. We always like to put things off. But you know, God said, seek him while he may be found. There's a limited time that we can seek him. Now, for sure, when you come to death, that's it. And I believe that anybody can get saved up until the moment of death. So you never know. There's some people that we're pretty sure they lived their lives, they never accepted God. But it's possible that they repented and got saved before they died. They might have. God accepts people that way. But I wouldn't push it. Because how do you know what kind of death you have? You may have a long, lingering death where you got time to think about things and repent. You might get run over by a truck when you walk out the door. Not much time. Okay. You may also have hardened your heart so far that God's grace isn't there for you anymore. You're so hard you can't hear him anymore. And that's what I think the greater danger is. We get so far and so hard that we're rejecting. It's like, seek him now. What else could be more important? There's probably a lot of things that you want to do today. You know, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to read this, I want to do that, or whatever. Well, that's fine. But shouldn't you seek God first? We talked about, we'd have Dr. Joe Martin here in a few weeks. And I guess it was his first book, The Evolution of a Creationist. And he begins with, if you haven't had your Bible study, really push this book down. You don't have any business reading this book until you've taken care of reading the book. Okay. I thought, that's pretty good. That's not how, you know, when you go to the bookstore, back when you used to go to bookstores, you look at books, it tells you all the reasons you ought to buy this book, you know, on the inside front cover or the back cover or something like that. First thing he does is tell you, you shouldn't be reading this yet. You need to read your Bible first. Get your priorities in order. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. There's the way, there's the God, there's the way of salvation. The first thing we do is we need to forsake our wicked ways. We need to acknowledge that we are wicked. That's what most of us don't want to do. But guess what? It's obvious. You might as well admit it to yourself. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. It's a good thing people can't read our thoughts. God made it that way. You know, if we had a signboard across our forehead, our thoughts rolled across like that, we'd all wear hats, you know. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Now, return unto the Lord. What if you've never been to the Lord? Well, we all return because that's where we come from. He's our creator, our maker, and we need to return unto our maker. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That is such good news. Like all the gospel, the good news. The good news is pardon is available. I look at Ukraine now, and it's horrible. The things that are going on, the horrors, and we can say all the things we want to say about Putin and whatever. And countries are helping, and I'm glad countries are helping Ukraine with military aid and with humanitarian aid. You know, Samaritan's Purse is there. Friends of Israel are there, and the refugees. It says the largest refugee crisis. You know, they made a big deal out of the African Muslim refugees, but this swamps it. There's millions of refugees from Ukraine and this and that. Just horrible. And I hope they get the help they need. But what I really want, I want them to turn to God. That's what they really need to do, seek God. God will protect them under his wings and guard them and protect them. They'll turn their hearts to God and seek him. Here's where he really calls us. He says that he will pardon us. We'll turn back to him. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Well, that's interesting because I remember great godly men, such like Sir Isaac Newton. And it wasn't original with him. And the great discoveries they made. Okay. But, I mean, the rainbow. I mean, breaking that down with a prism and this and that. That was Sir Isaac Newton. The colors you see there and this and that. But what did he say? He said that he was thinking God's thoughts after him. So science, the beginnings of science, were trying to understand God from the things that he had made. Very scriptural. That we can see him in the things that he's made. The heavens declare his glory. But now, we've changed that. That's not what the thrust of science, so-called science, falsely so-called, is. We're now putting our own thoughts on top of God's creation. So it says the heavens declare the glory of God. Well, we should look out, we should see the heavens, and we should think, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What do we think now? We think billions and billions of years. Those aren't God's thoughts. Those are our thoughts. We're putting our thoughts on top of God's creation. Guess what? It doesn't match very well. When your theories of the universe have to have dark matter and dark energy, over 90% of the supposed universe is undetectable. In other words, we just made it up to make our formulas work. That should make you wonder. That's not very good proof. But we're so determined to exclude God. So, no, we should be thinking his thoughts. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. In other words, We're wrong. Okay? When we look out there, we try to find an explanation. Without God, you're wrong to start with. Because without God, nothing is possible. And we love the quote, you know, as he said, "For with God, nothing is impossible." But you can take the corollary, without God, nothing is possible. Okay? Without God, there's no universe. There is no life. And there is no salvation. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So the best we can do is let's think His thoughts and try to fit those into our thoughts. How do you do that? "Be ye not conformed to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the washing of water with the Word." That's how we do it. God has given us His Word and His perspective. Guess what? We could sit out there, lie out at night, and stare at the stars forever and never come up with the right answer. Now we add telescopes, and we've got the Hubble satellite out there, and now they just released a new microwave that's even bigger and better than Hubble and this and that. Okay, we've got a lot of technology to stare at the stars, but we're not any better off than we were when we were laying out on the hilltop staring out at the skies wondering how this all came to be. If you want to know how it came to be, why don't you look at the one that did it, the one who was here. That's the answer. Let Him guide our thoughts. Then we're thinking God's thoughts after Him instead of thinking our thoughts in spite of Him. "Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Man doesn't have the answer. The United Nations is not going to bring about world peace. Okay? The League of Nations before that didn't work. So after World War II, they made the United Nations. And now we're sitting on the Security Council, the ones who are supposed to be the great peacemakers. And you've got Russia and China, some of the greatest human rights violators in the world, sitting on that. It's not working. As far as I can tell, it's just an organization designed to pick on Israel. That's mainly what they do. Guess what? There's not going to be peace on this earth until Jesus Christ comes and brings it Himself. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth," well, that's higher. I mean, just the heavens and the sky, well, we've managed to get airplanes up there. So, okay, we've conquered that. Well, okay. The heavens go beyond that. Well, we've been to the moon. Whoop-dee-doo. What percentage of the universe have we explored? It's so small, it might as well be zero. Okay? It's not there. The heavens are so much higher than the earth. There's so much out there that we don't know that we're foolish to even think we know anything. "So are my ways higher than your ways." That's God. God is so much bigger and higher than we are. We can't even begin to understand Him, except for one thing. He decided to write a book and explain it to us. Now, does He tell us everything we want to know? Oh, no. I was a terrible child, probably drove my parents nuts, asking all these questions. I wanted to know everything, how everything worked and all that kind of stuff. And guess what? We don't. We don't know everything. God didn't tell us everything. But He told us everything He wanted us to know. He told us how this universe came to be. He told us how it's going to end. And He told us what we need to do to get right with Him. And it's right there. God explained it. So if we've got any sense, we're going to learn from the one who does know. Because His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are not our thoughts. "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither." Have you ever seen it snow up? Nope. The rain comes down, and the floods go up. The rains come down. The snows come down. The earth is watered. God has His system. And He works it out a different way. He runs them in rivers and lakes and down to the ocean. The evaporation replenishes them and it comes down again. Well, we need rain every year, don't we? We need that cycle. God has put that in His wisdom. He's put in that cycle to where we have that. And just like that, His Word comes down. It doesn't go up. We don't tell God what to think. Although we try to. If we listen to our prayers sometimes, we keep telling God, you need to do this, and you need to do that, and you need to do this and that. No. It comes down. God's Word comes down to us, tells us how to think, what to do, what the truth is. Pilate, what is truth? He wanted to be a Greek philosopher. You know, what is truth? Jesus says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. And no man comes to Father but by me. There it is. Right there. And He wrote it down where even we can understand it. It's right there. That's the answer. But it watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth in bud. He that abideth in me and I in him shall bear much fruit. That it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. That's a pretty good system, isn't it? The seeds, the rains come, it grows up, we get to eat from, you know, the wheat comes in, we get to eat from it, we get seed for the next year's crop. Here we go again, it's self-sustaining. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It's a self-sustaining system too, isn't it? It brings fruit. God's word is there. We receive it. We get salvation because we trust in God. And we go out with good seed and share it again that it might grow up. Some producing 100, 60, 30-fold again. And it keeps going. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Sometimes you want to give up. You feel like it just doesn't do any good. Our world never changes, this and that. God said His word will not return void. Put His word out there. That's why I'm all for stations like BBN. You know, they broadcast His word far and wide. And who knows? Who hears? Most people ignore it. But a few will hear. We need to keep good gospel preaching churches that preach the Word of God, not man's philosophy. Because His Word doesn't return void. Keep putting the Word out there. His Word will bear fruit. It shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you unto singing. He's focusing on the end. He's focusing on Christ's rule on this earth. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. Remember, Adam and Eve decided to be, they'd make better gods than God. They brought about the curse. All this death, all this suffering, the things that go on. And guess what? Even the ground. What does your garden do if you don't till it? What comes up? Weeds. Right? Weeds and thorns. And I was out yesterday with Roundup. I have got a bumper crop of poison oak growing in my yard. Glenda, the neighbor, gave her a tomato plant, and it was doing really well. And I went out there and I looked, and it was surrounded by poison oak. So I rounded up the poison oak like crazy. The tomato plant may not survive, but hopefully I got the poison oak in there. Okay. That's what comes up, volunteer. It's poison oak in my yard. And these real thorny vines, nasty little ivy looking things with thorns that are sharp, will go through any leather glove without a problem. That's what comes up in my yard. I don't know about you. Fred grows dandelions. I've seen his crop. He has a bumper crop of dandelions out there. I wanted to bring Mary Beth Huckabee. She loved to pick dandelions. I thought I should bring her out to your yard and she would have a heyday and you wouldn't have any more dandelions. But the trees, it's going to change. It's going to, instead of thorns, you're going to get fir trees. Like, wait a minute, that's not what comes up volunteer. You want a tree, you got to plant it and water it and take care of it. No, it's going to come. Instead of the briar, shall come up the myrtle tree. So instead of a poison oak out there, flowers are going to pop up. Well, that'd be a different world. Maybe someday there's hope for us, Brenda. Maybe someday we're going to be able to have a beautiful garden. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The good news is, once God comes back and changes this, gets rid of the curse, turns the place back into a garden, it's going to last forever. It's not going to come to an end, but it's going to be permanent. There is hope in God. Because God has a plan. His ways are better than ever. Why this world? Why it was a good thing for this world to be cursed and fall in sin? I don't know. That's hard to explain. Especially to somebody who's suffering. But His thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are not my ways. God somehow knew that it was better than to create Adam and Eve as the perfect little, what was it, the old movie, The Stepford Wives. These guys had figured out how to make robots out of their wives so they were all perfect and obedient all the time. Okay, He could have made man like that, who were just perfect little robots. God understands artificial intelligence better than we do. He could have just made us like that, and Adam and Eve, he could have made them without the penalty of sin. Matter of fact, He could have just not given them any rules. He could have said, fine, eat of any tree you want, I don't care. But God knew it was better to give them moral freedom. Because robots can't love. I don't care what all these people say about, you know, how our artificial intelligence is advancing and the computers are advancing and this and that. They're never going to be real. They're never going to be self-conscious. They're impressively intelligent in the sense that they can process a lot of things, remember a lot of things. They may even be able to fake acting like a person. Okay, that was the Turing test. The initial computer was, if you could put one, somebody on the opposite, like on the opposite of the telephone, and they could be talking to a computer and not realize that it was a computer. Well, that just means somebody programmed it pretty cleverly. Okay, but it doesn't mean it can think or have its own thing. And I'm not worried about the science fiction movies that the computers are going to look at man and go, boy, these people are stupid. For their own good, we're going to have to take over. The computers are just going to take over. You know, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about what men are going to do with computers. That worries me. But God didn't create robots. God created us. As fallible as we are. And guess what? God knew it from the beginning. He knew all the terrible things we'd do. Matter of fact, He knew that we were going to kill His only begotten Son. And He created us anyway. Well, that's above me. I couldn't have done that. No way. But God knew that it was better. And so God has a plan. In the end, it's going to all be worth it. It shall be worth it all when I see Jesus. Because God is going to turn this place back into a paradise. If fir trees come up instead of thorns, it's going to be a nice place to live. And if people live in accordance with God, they're going to be nice. It's going to be nice to be around. You're not going to mind having neighbors. God's got a plan. And He knew this was the best way of all. And it's just up to us to trust Him and to obey and seek Him while He shall be found.